couple of years ago, we introduced you to Dr. Jennifer Wiseman, an astrophysicist who heads up the Dialogue on Science, Ethics, and Religion at the American Association for the Advancement of Science. Dr. Wiseman, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
We wanted to have you back this week because space has been in the headlines, but also because Doser hosted an important event last weekend at the often tense intersection of religion and science. What was on the agenda of the climate policy discussion?
This Dialogue on Science, Ethics, and Religion program is an effort by a major scientific society to facilitate better interactions between the scientific community and religious communities. So the scientific society is the American Association for the Advancement of Science, or the world's largest science advocacy society. And this particular dialogue program was started about 22 years ago, and we do a lot of things to help facilitate positive interactions between scientists and religious groups. So at the big AAAS annual conference last weekend, we held a symposium there sponsored by our dialogue program regarding how religious communities actually are playing a key role in helping global leaders to take positive steps toward addressing climate change. And so sometimes, you know, we hear that religious communities maybe seem to be at odds with scientists and other folks when thinking about climate change or how to address it or whether to acknowledge it and that kind of thing. But our symposium showed how religious groups who have a deep care and concern about creation and the environment have actually played a key role in helping construct positive ideas for how the world can address climate change in the coming years.
Mm-hmm. What are the biggest obstacles right now to getting closer to meeting the objectives you have for these kinds of forums?
There's a great hunger, I'd say, to have more of these types of interactions where scientists can interact with religious leaders, often in their own communities. Many times scientists and religious groups or leaders don't have a lot of just casual interaction or even formal interactions in their own communities, but it's often very important, and we try to just set the architecture up for that to happen. In this case, for the symposium that we held, we had a scientist from the University of Minnesota, Dr. Jessica Hellman, who talked about some of the science that climate scientists are seeing regarding the change in our Earth's climate and what's driving that. And then we had a pastor, a Reverend Fletcher Harper, who leads an interfaith organization called Green Faith. Green Faith is an interfaith partnership for the environment where he outlined how religious communities can get involved in doing things that's in keeping with their faith commitments to addressing these global problems resulting from climate change or causing it. And religious communities are often particularly concerned for caring for the poor and the world's neediest folks, and these are the people who are already being affected by climate change the most and will be in the future. And so religious groups often play a big role in ministering to people around the world who are in impoverished situations. And these are the folks who are most dependent and affected by changes in climate. So he talked about how religious communities can actually take positive action, both to address the root causes of climate change and also to address those who are being affected and will be affected by it. And then we also had Dr. Matthew Nisbet from Northeastern University talking about what frames people's opinions. You know, a lot of people's opinions about this topic and others are framed not so much by the data they hear, but by the voices they trust. And so talking about how to get issues like environmental care framed in such a way that people of faith commitments can address these things in keeping with their faith. So it was a very interesting conversation. And then we had Dr. Catherine Hayhoe, who's a climate scientist from Texas Tech, be a discussant. And she's just a marvelous witness and ambassador, because she operates both in the climate science community, understanding what's happening scientifically, but she also operates in the church community and is just a wonderful spokesperson, interacting with churches and understanding their concerns as well. So it was a terrific symposium, and we hope that it'll be available online soon through our website at AAAS.org/Dozer, D-O-S-E-R.
Dr. Wiseman, you're an astrophysicist. How exciting is the discovery of these exoplanets?
Well, there was some exciting news this week that one star system has seven planets that are basically Earth-sized orbiting that star. Now, we've already, over the last few years, different astronomers using different kinds of telescopes have detected literally thousands of planets outside of our own solar system. But this is the first time we've seen a collection of Earth-sized planets orbiting one star. And it isn't that far away. I mean, it's still a very long way for us human beings, but it's only 20 light years away, which astronomically speaking isn't all that far away. So it means that it will be possible to study these Earth-sized planets in more detail in the future. So it's quite exciting.
How did this happen? Because there's a new level of accuracy in what we can see in space, or is it more a case that we're always scanning the skies and just stumbled across these bodies?
No, astronomers are now looking very carefully at different kinds of stars to assess what kinds of stars may have what kinds of planets. I mean, this is really all quite incredible, because back when I was in graduate school, we didn't know of any planets outside of our solar system. We, of course, know the planets in our own solar system, and we had a lot of science fiction movies and things that made us imagine that there might be planets around other stars, but we hadn't discovered any. And then the techniques of detecting them grew to the point where indirectly these planets were starting to be detected. It's very hard to find planets around other stars, because in most cases the star is much, much brighter, maybe a billion times brighter than these little planets that only reflect starlight. So the little planets get caught in the glare of the star. So you have to almost always detect them, not by just taking a picture of the system, in which case you'd never see the little planets, but by seeing their effect. In some systems, the planet orbits in front of its parent star. Its plane is along our line of sight, and that not only drops the total amount of starlight we see from that star as it passes in front, but we also can see, as the light from the star passes through the outer realm of the atmosphere of that planet, that atmosphere will absorb certain colors of the starlight, and we can tell from that absorption what's in the atmosphere of the planet, so we can study a little bit about its character. So now, using these various techniques, we know of thousands of planets outside our solar system, and the next step, of course, is to build even better telescopes that can help us to look in much more detail at the atmospheres of these planets and see if they look like they might be habitable for life or even have biological activity. So that's kind of the exciting next step in this exploration bonanza here.
What opportunities for new knowledge and exploration does this discovery really offer?
Well, it is, of course, one of the hottest topics in astronomy now. Now that we know that there are planets outside our solar system, we call these exoplanets. The exo means outside, so planets outside our solar system. Now we want to be able to study them in more detail to find out, do they have oceans? Do they have continents? Do they have a breathable atmosphere with oxygen, nitrogen, things like our own atmosphere? Do they have products of life? Our own atmosphere, if you went away from Earth and looked back at it carefully, you would see that our atmosphere is filled with oxygen, and that's because we have plants that, through their photosynthesis, are continually replenishing our atmosphere with oxygen. So you could tell that there was biological activity going on. We want to do that same kind of study for many of these exoplanets. And, of course, it's basic research, trying to understand the nature of planets in general and whether our own solar system is typical or atypical. And, of course, we're all curious to know whether there might be another habitable or inhabited place, maybe with simple life, maybe with complex life, who knows. But it's part of the whole exploration process, which is driven by scientific curiosity, but I also think it's driven by something very basic in our human nature to want to know who we are and where we fit in to the larger universe and to God's creation, if you will. So I think it's a really exciting time.
Let me go just very briefly from that specific thing to something general. Would you talk briefly about the AAAS Force for Science campaign, because it seems really important right now?
Yes, yeah, so the AAAS is the American Association for the Advancement of Science, and so the AAAS is a supporter of all different types of science, everything from biology to astronomy, chemistry, physics, geology, and upholds basically the place of science as a way of investigating the natural world and being able to come up with answers to scientific questions and being able to articulate that in such a way that it helps society through journals and through other things. So now at this current point in time, the AAAS is really feeling that a lot of people want to make sure that it's known that science is important, that science should be a key player, an input to decisions that are made in society about that involve science and technology, that actual scientific data should play a key role in those kinds of things, and it's important. So I think the AAAS now is just getting behind this more public surge of support for science and wants to support people who are interested in keeping science as a key player in providing information. Now, I'll add that science doesn't answer all kinds of questions about all kinds of things. Science is a really good tool, in my view, as a scientist, to answer certain types of questions, such as we were discussing earlier. How do we know that the climate's changing, and how would we know that humans are playing a part in that? That's a good science question that we can address with our tool, or talking about these exoplanets and astronomy and cosmology, or measuring chemical compositions of things. Those are scientific types of questions. But there are the bigger questions then of, well, how do we use this knowledge? And that's where, you know, part of our title comes in for our program, our dialogue on science, ethics, and religion is, you know, there are ethical questions about using science and technology that go beyond just the science itself. And, of course, religion, there are certainly philosophical and theological and religious aspects of looking at what it means to be human and how we should live our lives. And those are questions often beyond the tools of science. So the AAAS supports science as a part, as a piece of society that includes these other inputs as well, and hopefully will give us a more holistic sense of what it means to be human and how to make choices on the public level that affect everybody's lives.
Dr. Wiseman, before we end the interview, please tell our listeners how to keep up on the work of the Dialogue on Science, Ethics, and Religion, as well as the American Association for the Advancement of Science.
Sure. So the American Association for the Advancement of Science has a website. It's just AAAS.org, AAAS.org. And our Dialogue on Science, Ethics, and Religion program, or DOSER, is just AAAS.org/DOSER.
Dr. Jennifer Wiseman is an astrophysicist and director of the Dialogue on Science, Ethics, and Religion at the American Association for the Advancement of Science. Dr. Wiseman, it is always great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for being with us once again on State of Belief Radio.
It's my pleasure. Have a wonderful day.